love you so. Be a shoulder to cry on when you're in need. They'll never leave you alone, no.
When your friends bring you down
and they drag you through the dirt, girl.
And when nobody's around,
they'll carry you through the hurt. Just remember that family comes.
Just remember.
Welcome once again to your regular family engagement program meant to make us better, Farm Life, here on City 97.3 FM. My name is Michael Mensah, and as always, we'll be having another significant conversation this morning. You can join us with your questions, queries, and contributions when you know the topic, but let me announce the WhatsApp and Telegram number so you can do the needful when we begin. It's 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. We intend to be able to open the phone lines today as well, so you can bring in your contributions. We'll take a short break, and then when we come back, I'll introduce the topic, and then we'll go on to look at the wonderful folks who are going to help us to engage on it. So stick and stay, and we'll be right back.
The city is alive on 97.3.
Mm-hmm. voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Welcome and thank you for staying. It's such a beautiful, bright Saturday morning. And can you guess what we are going to discuss today? All right. So we are looking at the family and the special needs child. We've had parents get to us and ask us to look at this also very important dynamic of our lives. And so today, we are graciously privileged to have a mom with us and someone else who's going to help us to navigate the dynamics of the family and the special needs child. So with me this morning is Augustina Odro, who is a mom of a lovely boy and a genius on the autism spectrum disorder. And then we have also Adinkra Am I?
Andrika.
Forgive me, see. Andrika Grant Odonko, who is an occupational therapist of Haven International. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We are hoping to have Dr. Emmanuel Hobson join us as we go along. Thank you for graciously accepting to come and join us to do this all important topic and to have this conversation as well. You're welcome once again. And
thank
how are you,
you
doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, did you really sleep well last night?
Yes,
my favorite question every morning. Do you sleep well? I ask my wife, I ask my children at home. Did you have a good sleep?
Yes,
there are some days when if I don't sleep long enough or sleep deep enough, I do not wake up feeling rested, even though I slept. So it's not out of place for me to ask. So that's my question to you. Did you sleep well last night?
Yes, I did.
Please help me with the name. Andrika.
Andrika.
Andrika. All right.
Yes,
right. So I'm getting it. I'm being a good student.
Yes.
Yes, Augustina, did you sleep well last night?
Unfortunately, due to Doomsaw, I couldn't.
You should. The Doomsaw you don't want to accept.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, they know best. And it's sad because you see, when it's unplanned, it messes up a lot of things for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we need to care enough about each other to face the reality and see what it is.
Yes.
If you don't call something by his name, you cannot address it.
Yes. Anyway,
that's the substance of our conversation this morning.
It's actually going to be needful in there somewhere.
You see. Thank you very much. Yes, so, you know, when we speak of special needs, and so I'll start with you, Andrika. When you speak of special needs, different dynamics come up. Some say it has different areas. You have the physical, you have the developmental, you have the behavioral, and then also the sensory dynamics. Reading through, some go as far as saying there are 15 types. Some say 12. Then some do the four main classifications I've mentioned. What, in your opinion, is special needs?
Okay, so special needs, it's someone, okay, who needs assistance in their daily living skills.
Okay
so let's say a child with autism, as you said early on, will need assistance with body training, attention span, turn taking, social skills. So anyone who needs assistance to do something, yes, I would say it's a special needs person or a special needs child. Yes.
Okay. So that is not only autism per se.
No, we have various conditions.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's special learning disability. There's special learning disability, there's speech or language impairment.
Yes.
There's other health impairments.
Yes.
There could be the spectrum of autism.
Yes, we have autism
spectrum.
We have cerebral palsy.
Okay.
We have hydrocephalus, spina bifida, a whole lot.
Okay.
Down syndrome, yes.
Okay.
They're all special needs.
So is it, in brief, it's someone who needs help?
Yes, assistance in their day-to-day activities.
In your engagement with and your training and this way you function, is it easy or do you need special skills to be able to handle such a situation?
It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and lie. It's not easy taking care of children with special needs. And yes, you do need to be trained.
Okay.
If you are not trained, you might end up doing the wrong things.
Okay.
Yes, which will worsen the case.
Okay.
But if you're trained on it, at least if you did not even go to school and then you went on a training with somebody, at least you have the idea, you know what's coming up like, you know. I think you should be trained.
Okay.
And it's not easy. It's not an easy task for both the parents,
okay,
the carers, and even the school or wherever facility they find themselves in. Yes.
So is it the case then also that they need to be in a special school, or can they fit into the normal school
the
mainstream system, or it depends on the degree?
Yes, it depends on the degree.
Okay.
And the condition. Okay. Some of them first have to go to the special needs school, mm-hmm. and then later move to the mainstream school. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So you mentioned cerebral palsy. So I mentioned hearing impairment, orthopedic impairment, visual yes. impairment, including blindness or partial blindness, traumatic brain injury, deaf and blind, and what have you. So now let's come to a wonderful mother looking so gorgeous this morning.
Thank
who's
you.
Graciously agreed to walk us through the journey. Welcome once again, Augustina.
Thank you so much.
And we
sir.
Are grateful to have you. So tell me, how did the journey start for you?
Okay. Thank you very much for having me here this morning. The journey started in 2017 mm-hmm. When I had my first child, mm-hmm. a healthy-looking, bouncy baby boy who came out at the right weight and everything. Events following his birth, immediate events, included some issues, like he not... latching on, he couldn't breastfeed for some reason.
Okay.
We couldn't figure it out. After I think a day or two, he started breastfeeding. He also developed neonatal jaundice along the line, but that cleared up really fast. From then on, he started hitting his milestones effortlessly.
Okay.
I remember downloading an app that I could check with, you know, where is my son and is he developing at the normal rate? Yes. Mm-hmm. He sat at the right age, walked and all that, but at the age of one he didn't have any words.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the app saying, hey, he's supposed to have his first words, he's supposed to be saying mama, dada.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be pointing, he's supposed to be waving, and all these were absent. I remember he didn't really have good social skills. People would come to our home, would try to engage him, and he would have his eyes somewhere. And one common sentence people used to say was, he's always busy. You know, he never gave attention to anyone, and he didn't have intelligible words. He used to make sounds, repetitive sounds, and these sounds were somehow annoying, you know. And at age two, you know, from age one to age two, he displayed all manner of symptoms of autism. He was tiptoeing, the lack of social interactions. He loved to play by himself all the time. It was just difficult to engage him. He would prefer to watch TV. And this is really my fault. I think I exposed him to screens too early. I think I started making him watch Cocomelon and all these... shows on YouTube, and I think I know that it's worsened his situation.
You know, so by hindsight or somebody.
From what I have learned in recent times through research, there's a thing called virtual autism, and I would plead with parents of young children below age 5, to desist from giving them any device, you know.
The screen time.
Screen time, please. Drop it. It's not really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that these shows would end up giving your child autism, but then... if they have risk factors, it could make it worse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I remember thinking that it had been so long I saw my son look at me in the eye, you know, from age 1 to 2, he wouldn't look at me at all. So whenever I Googled the things he was doing, the search engine will give me articles on autism. Mm-hmm. And that frightened me a lot. Eventually, he started shaking his head in the... You see how we say no with yes in that manner. He would do that very violently, and he seemed to enjoy it. He'd go around in circles, you know, repetitive movements and lack of social skills and communication. He wasn't talking. All these got me worried. I spoke to my boss, Dr. Kojoko Vaisel. I would love to use your platform to say a big thank you to him. He's been amazing, very instrumental.
I know Kojo very, very well.
Oh.
Kojo,
if he's listening.
A lovely guy there.
Yes, I spoke to him. He recommended an amazing neurodevelopmental pediatrician, Dr. Marvel. To us, my husband and I took our son to see her. That day he got diagnosed. This was a day after his second birthday. And when she confirmed it, I was like, oh no, I was so devastated. My husband too, we're in the office and we're like, okay, you know, he's smart. He does. We're trying to convince the doctor to tell us, hey,
it can't be autism because
okay, when he's watching shows, he knows what is coming next. I mean,
he's smart.
Yes, we could see some traits of smartness in him, so we thought it was an autism. But she assured us, she's very good at what she does. She told us not to even think about the name, the tag.
Yes.
You know, we should you know, harness, look at the strengths that our child has and the potentials that could come out of him. And that we were very lucky to have found out early. Because early intervention was going to be very helpful. He was going to gain the social skills. He was going to get speech. He was going to be all right. So we left the office very hopeful. We left Dr. Marble's office with a lot of hope.
So let me ask, at this time, was he speaking
audibly
or still wasn't?
He still wasn't speaking.
3 years, okay.
Yes. We left the office. We were very hopeful that things were going to get better, but life happened. I remember we struggled with finances at the time. Therapy is expensive.
Okay.
Therapy is very expensive.
Do you mind taking us? What does it entail? You take them to a specialist or a therapist, and what do they do? What do they take them through?
Okay, so managing autism, ADHD, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, all these conditions require a number of experts to come together to solve or help children reach their full potential.
Okay.
We did speech therapy. We've done occupational therapy, behavioral therapy, very necessary. And back then, due to the banking sector cleanup, we were struggling with our finances, and we started a business. We got duped along the way, so we plunged into debt. We couldn't give Nii the support, the full support he needed at the time. And it killed us. I mean, it made us so powerless. Yeah, let me use that word. At that point, I got depressed, and it was not a beautiful thing. COVID happened around the time. Okay. This was in 2019. Entering 2020, COVID made matters worse, because here I was with my child. I had given birth to his brother.
After him?
Yeah, after him. His brother was still a baby.
Okay.
And I was supposed to step in as a therapist. So we used to do virtual therapy. I would speak to a speech therapist. She would show me what to do. And the thing about working with depression is, depression would make you tired all the time. Mm. I wasn't in the mood to do anything. I just didn't. I was always in my shell. I'll call up in my shell. I used to cry every day, and I know it wasn't good for my children. And but God being so good, I think we did some sessions, some speech therapy, and it was helpful. I remember learning things about how to help my child on YouTube. I'd go on YouTube, Google. My husband will pay for short courses for me to learn how to cope and help him. I potty trained my son at 3 years, and it wasn't easy. It hasn't been easy. I tried certain strategies to get him to say his first words and all that. Somewhere along the line, I met Auntie Mary Amoa of Clicks Africa, amazing woman. She's been very instrumental to Knee's progress. She opened her arms to us. She's helped us in diverse ways, giving us discounts. You know, sometimes I'll call Auntie Mary and say, Auntie Mary, we don't have money for fees this month or term. And she'd be like, oh, bring him, don't worry at all, you know. So Auntie Mary, if you're listening, I love you. I love you so much. God bless you, Richie.
We love you, Auntie Mary.
Auntie Mary, Amwa of Kufo. Yes, please.
Big up to you, Auntie Mary.
So Nii is 6 now.
Okay.
He's speaking very bubbly, strong-willed.
Okay.
He loves to cook. He loves to be with me in the kitchen. He enjoys everything that has got to do with cooking, chopping, grinding. He loves to pound fufu. He can't pound fufu, but he wouldn't let anyone touch the vessel. And we've stopped eating fufu for a while now.
Okay.
So that has been the journey so far.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing with us. And so, does it allow you to have regular employment? Or now that he's older, are you able to work? Or how has that side been for you as well in the process?
Okay, so I mentioned Dr. Itzel earlier.
Yes.
Dr. Itzel is my boss.
Okay.
I am a digital marketer.
Okay.
And I work for him. I manage his social media accounts and other things.
Okay.
Yes. So he gave me the opportunity to work at home, and so it's been very helpful. I get to earn a living and also take care of me. So once again, Dr. Isol, God richly bless you.
Hey, Koba. You have to link up with me. He's my buddy.
Oh, nice.
I saw him or heard from him. So, Koba, as Augustina is praising you, I'm saying link up. You have my number. Call me. Thank you. So, it means that flexibility of employer is helpful and
very
important.
Helpful. Very, very helpful.
Right.
I couldn't have imagined going out to work or do anything profitable if I didn't have this job that I'm doing.
So if I come to, I see Andreka shaking her head as you're, and nodding as you're talking. So how did you manage? You said there was a time where you felt down or depressed. How did you come out? What steps did you take, or what help did you receive to help you to navigate that terrain as well?
Okay, so at the time, I didn't even know it was depression.
Okay.
We all thought, oh, okay, we're going through a lot of problems, and so maybe that is why. But I couldn't find a name to it. How did I get out of it? So I remember speaking to a friend, a doctor, a friend of mine, who said it's depression that I'm going through, and that I needed to be treated. That I was sick. And I was like, no, I'm not sick. I'm fine. I just get really tired and I'm not interested in anything.
Yeah,
I just
for life just vanishes.
Yes. I didn't want to be with anyone. So he recommended that I saw a psychologist. And even with that, it wasn't easy because I always had me with me.
Okay.
You know, being on this journey can be very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Very lonely. People are not accepting enough, probably because they don't understand the condition. And so I always had me, and so going out was even a problem. The first appointment I went, I attended with him was very chaotic. I remember the psychologist seemed sorry for me. I was up with him at my back, swinging him while she asked me questions. And she helped. My friend also helped a lot. They put me on medication to solve it, and God has been amazing. I think my relationship with God took a good turn, and once I started praying often and reading my Bible often, it helped.
Okay. And how has it been like for your husband as well?
Oh, my husband is first of all, I would like to say thank you to him. I know he's listening. Richard Ama.
Big ups to you, Richard.
he's one of the most kindest human beings I've ever met. Many men would run away at the diagnosis, but he's been my solid rock from day one. He's been very encouraging. I know he's had his fair share of all the trauma we've been through. He is stronger, you know. But I would like to say thank you to him. He's been very good. He's supported us in so many ways, diverse ways, and I'm grateful to him.
All right. So, as you've been speaking, Andrika has been shaking her head and nodding. before I come to Andrika, Doc, welcome.
Thank
so
you.
The voice about here is the voice of Dr. Emmanuel Hobson,
yes.
A counseling psychologist, ADL expert, and CEO of Center for Peace and Reconciliation. Doc, Augustina has graciously shared her story, her journey with us so far. What is your take on all this?
These are some of the life challenges that some of them you can't understand, mm-hmm. and you can't even explain how it does happen. If you take into consideration situation like a mother going to give birth,
mm-hmm.
expectation is that I'm going to just give birth and then we'll come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Some are detected at the fetus level.
Okay.
And advice, medical advice are sorted after to see how such situations can be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Technology have developed to such an extent that some of the challenges can be taken care of at the fetus level.
Oh, really?
But not many of them. And some of these things too are not being able to be diagnosed early enough,
okay.
until there are certain stages the child go through before you can appreciate that, this is what is going on, this is not what is going on. For a long time, when you talk about autism, from either IDC-10 or DSM-4 definition of or classification of these issues, there has not been any clear, typical definition in perspective that can prepare people to know what they should expect.
Okay.
Because the needs come as and when, shape and type.
Okay.
So nobody can say that he or she is prepared enough to be able to appreciate or know what is coming.
Yes.
So most of the situation that caregivers or parents or people that are dealing with children with special needs are not people that are prepared for it.
Okay.
That is the most difficult part of it.
Mm.
So now you are dealing with a situation that you are not prepared for.
Yes.
You don't have the skills for it.
Okay.
Fortunately, unfortunately too, one impairment
yes.
can generate another impairment.
Oh, really?
Another need mm-hmm. can also trigger another need.
Okay.
Most of the time, the children that are having the need are the focus.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the caregivers,
yes.
nobody thinks much about them.
Okay.
So it is very difficult for the caregivers than even the children with the special need.
Okay.
For instance, when you take a child that is having cerebral palsy or autistic child, the child doesn't know what exactly is going on with him or her.
Okay.
He's just screaming, jumping, tiptoeing, passing, cracking, and all that. But you begin to ask yourself, what is happening to this child? But the child cannot ask herself or himself or even know what is going on with him or her.
Mm.
It is the caregiver, the mother, the father, that is looking at the child that is broken.
Okay.
That is looking at a child and wondering, what should I do differently? Do I have what it takes to manage this situation?
Okay.
Because it is very difficult when you are in a situation that you have no idea what to do. And people you want to fall onto don't also know what to do.
Okay.
And I think it was on this program that a lady came to share a testimony from the UK that he wasn't sure what is happening with her. And when she goes to even church, the prophecies even come to tell her that the situation with the child is caused by this person, called by that person, caused by this person. So you are dealing with a situation that you don't know what it is. You can't figure it out. You don't have the skill. You don't have anybody to fall on. And now they have now spiritualized the whole thing and you are confused. So for a long time, apart from dealing with the child with a special need, with all this confusion,
yes.
he also have to hate some people. And these people may be part of her support system
okay.
that she cannot even relate with.
Okay.
She cannot even ask help or anything because of the thought she had about these people. Exactly so. So one of the situations that make it more difficult is the family structure.
Okay.
Number one, when you want to look at the event,
yes.
what really happened,
yes.
and then you want to look at the family resources,
okay.
and you want to look at the family or the people's definition of the situation,
okay.
and far apart from that, the way the readiness will be to handle the situation. And then, above all, financial situations.
Okay. Because Augustina mentioned that it's taking them for therapy is expensive.
It's very expensive. Very expensive. And if the family, we have functional family,
okay.
dysfunctional family, and extreme dysfunctional family.
Okay.
When the family is already dysfunctional,
yes.
and some of these things also happen yes. within this family,
yes.
you can imagine how it will happen or what will happen. Yes. Even if the family is functional,
yes.
there are some of the situation that it happens at the time that the family is blending the structure. There are some that comes after.
Okay.
And changes the already existing structure.
Dynamics.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because one special need child will change the structure of your agenda, your calendar, your planning, because every program and plan must be centered around this child.
Okay.
You want to go to some place, the time you have to go, people you are going to meet, and how to prepare for the going, it is not just about you anymore.
Right.
So it makes it a bit very difficult. So to me, I feel if there is any support or help, should go for not only the children with special need, yeah, but the caregivers.
On which note, the caregiver note, I'm coming to the lady who has been nodding and agreeing with a lot of the things that Augustine has been saying. So as an occupational therapist, take us through what you do. I mean, so for instance, okay, she says knee is six now. So if he comes into the school, how do you handle them? Say the person, oh, somebody comes much earlier. At what stage do they come in? Do you have some that are as young as 3 years?
Or? Yes, please. We have some as young as 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come, you have to go through an assessment.
Okay.
Then after the assessment, we'll know where to place you in the class.
Okay.
So let me take my school, for example,
yes,
Haven International.
Yes.
We have about four classes.
Okay.
So we look at your age,
mm-hmm,
and then your level.
Okay.
And then we put you in one class.
Okay.
And then as an occupational therapist, mm-hmm, I also have my own assessment.
Okay.
And then I will see how to begin with you and what to start with, because I just,
okay,
don't generalize my intervention. It's,
mm-hmm,
client specific.
Okay.
So you come in, I notice you have a problem with attention.
Yes.
And mommy is saying, you know what, I want my child to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I want my child to ride a bike. That's what you want your child to,
yes,
do. You want your child to ride a bike.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, mommy, that's very good. We'll, mm-hmm, work towards that. But for now, let's work on attention.
Okay.
Let's work on the communication skills.
Okay.
All these things will aid to the latter end,
mm-hmm,
where you want the child to maybe jump high or whatever goal you have.
Okay.
Fine. You come to the school. You have your own goals. But
yes,
goals should be realistic.
Yeah.
You just don't say, oh, I want my child to start working maths,
mm-hmm,
as soon as you come. No.
Okay.
So we start from somewhere and then we go somewhere. And then,
mm-hmm,
we assess you as you go.
Okay.
If you think you're very, very smart in certain areas,
mm-hmm,
so like at Haven, for instance,
yeah,
we have a vocational department.
Okay.
We notice that, okay, this is your child. Is not so good academically.
Okay.
But he or she is so good making stuffs with your hands.
Mm.
We'll talk to the parents. We've noticed you want your child to know the ABCs.
Yes,
we've worked on it for some time. It's not going that way. But I think this will be much better for you.
Okay.
So we sit down with the parents and then we refer them to the vocational class. We have some of the students that actually talk,
okay,
who are reading, and we are hoping to include them in our mainstream school,
yeah,
that will be opening soon.
Okay.
Yes. So it depends on the child and then the level.
Oh.
Yes. Then we know where to
so
tackle from.
What age group? You mentioned that there are some as young as three. Do you have an upper limit, or also depends on the severity or the spectrum?
So that, okay,
are
so
there some that you're able to put in the mainstream education, or some have to continually stay within the special school to be,
you're asking if some should go straight to
I'm asking that based on the spectrum and then the interventions you make,
mm-hmm,
whether it's possible sometimes to,
yes, it is,
put some in mainstream school,
yes,
or whether some need to stay within the special school throughout till maybe they can
graduate.
Graduate,
okay, yes. So some of them actually end up going into the mainstream.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. When you come, we assess you,
mm-hmm,
and as you are in the school, we,
yes,
keep assessing to see if you are in the right place, or we need to move you,
mm-hmm,
we need to add something, we need to deduct something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to do the assessment. When we are done with the assessment, we check if you need to move to the vocational class, if you need,
mm-hmm,
to move to a higher class where,
mm-hmm,
let's say you need to do more of the reading, because,
mm-hmm,
we've noticed you have words.
Yes,
so
okay,
now we have to work on your words.
Yes, okay.
You have to do more reading.
Okay.
You have to do more writing.
Okay.
And then we have that class. So at Haven, we have even the Sunshine class,
okay,
where they are doing the reading, the writing, they are doing all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some that are yet to find out what they are good at.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say their child came in after a year. Okay, we're going with the educational side as the parents,
mm-hmm,
want. We've also assessed, we think they can,
okay,
get there. We are working on their attention, turn taking, and social,
mm-hmm,
skills.
Mm-hmm.
Get to a part, oh, think this child is good with academics. We're going to send you there. No, I think this child is good with vocational. Okay, we're going there. Okay. And then we work on it. Okay. So that's what we do.
Okay. So within the class, like you're saying, every child is attention specific. You give them, so you don't teach them EMAs, even within the class. So like I mentioned, the Sunshine class. In the class, do you engage them from like a typical teacher who's standing? Whatever they're taking them through, or you do one-on-ones with them?
So we do both. Okay. We have an educational plan for them, individual educational plan for them. So each child has their goals.
Okay.
They're in the same class,
yes,
but they all have their goals.
Okay.
Maybe child A is good with reading, but he doesn't like writing.
Okay.
So we work on that. Okay. Child B is good with writing, but he doesn't like reading.
Okay.
But when something is placed on the board,
yes,
they all get it, but okay, they don't want to work on that aspect. So okay, we encourage them, we motivate them to do that.
Okay.
So even though sometimes they have group therapy,
yes,
where everyone is involved,
yes,
they all have their individual educational plan.
Okay.
So that's what happens. Yeah.
Thank you so you're kindly. Welcome. If you are listening to us, it's Farm Life Live here on City 97.3 FM and also on the internet. And we thank all those who listen to us across the globe. My name is Michael Mensah, and we are discussing the family and the special needs child. And with me in the studio this morning is Augustina Udro, who is a mom of a lovely child on the autism spectrum. And then we have also an occupational therapist with Haven International, Andrika Grant Odonko, and Dr. Emmanuel Hobson, a counseling psychologist. You can keep your comments, contributions, queries, or recommendations coming via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. We'll open the phone lines in due course. And before we do that, I want to come back to Augustina. Doc mentioned the dynamic of spiritual. Now, you know, in what the handling or dealing with grief or trauma, you know, the Kubler-Ross dynamic. What do you talk about? You go through the cycle from denial to the stages of grief. Yes, how was it like for you? Did you blame yourself at any point? Did you and your husband feel you didn't do something right, or somebody may have cursed you, or did you go through that cycle, and did you have people putting pressure on you, trying to tell you that this thing is spiritual, and did you have that kind of situation or dynamic in any way?
Yes, please. I went through all those.
I realized when I was speaking, she was.
She was not really.
Yes. So it happens a lot.
It does, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay.
I had one man who came, like, he went to spend about 5,000 and he gave it to a pastor, and the pastor said, it's spiritual and they have to remove it. And I said, hey, really? They have to remove it? Then please tell the pastor to come to remove a lot of things from this.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
Okay.
A whole lot. Some of the pastors actually is taught.
Okay.
I think when I was also at Swedro, the rehab center, there was this woman who said the pastor said the child is a witch.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
They said the child is a witch, and that is why the mother cannot give birth to the next born, the second born, because the child is a witch. So she actually brought the child to therapy, and we were like, this child has a temperature. Could you kindly take the child to the hospital so after we can see what we do?
Yes.
She's like, oh, no, continue. We're like, no, this child has a very high temperature.
Yes, it needs help.
So we refused therapy. We said no, because if the child dies here,
you'll be held responsible.
Yes. So there was a clinic down there. So we sent the child there. And then the child was given a blood transfusion about 3.
Wow.
And then we were like, why? And she was like, and the pastor said, the child is a witch. So she's just hoping that the child dies. And this child has cerebral palsy.
Oh no.
Yes, they do it a lot. Some of them even leave them in forests.
Yes, they kill them every day.
They kill them all the time.
And this is not only limited to pastors.
Mm-hmm.
From cultural perspective,
mm-hmm,
the misinterpretation and misinformation,
mm-hmm,
and much more so ignorance,
mm-hmm,
have made them give different kind of definition to some of these things. And fortunately or unfortunately, the diagnosis of these things is not in one formula. The disability or the special need by itself takes its name from the need. So, for instance, if it is sight impairment, then it's a special need of sight impairment. What about if it is a nose? What about if it is a mouth? What about if it is a neck? So the dysfunctions comes in different forms. So as it is, based on what type it is, would have its definition. So the ignorance of it will make people give different kind of interpretation to the situation.
I know sometimes,
and the kind of interpretation they give is the approach to what they want to do with the situation. So it's not only limited to pastors who are ignorant about some of these things. Yes, there may be some instances that you can attribute some of these things to some ununderstandable situations that may let you interpret it as being spiritual. And it could also be true. However, the level at which we take that undermines all the and other dynamics. Approach and dynamics that we need to take into consideration.
Is it the case that because we are largely a religious people, we attribute everything to
religion
and to spiritism and to, you know, everything that's unexplained, we give it a spiritual connotation? Is that the
case? Of course, yes. Once we don't know, we don't have the understanding, there is one understanding we have. And that understanding is non-understanding.
And could it be that, you know, sometimes the vim and the confidence and the surety with which we speak as though God has told us.
And that is a lie.
Yes,
a
and so lie. Then so Andreka was saying that then sometimes that can be manipulative, and then it becomes exhaustion.
Extortion. Extortion.
Yeah. So yes, tell us. We would like to hear how did you and Richard manage it. What was it like?
There's a very important thing that I would love to tell parents of children who have received their diagnosis or are seeing signs of autism in their children. Yes, yes, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I don't know what I would have done without him. But believe all you want to, believe everything your pastor tells you, but please seek help for your child. Get them into therapy. You can go and pray. Of course, take your child to church, but do that with therapy. Get speech therapy, occupational therapy done, and add your faith to it and see how wonderful it will be. Don't just rely solely on your faith. The Bible says, for Christians, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So believe, but add works, add therapy to it, seek help. Don't keep your child in the house. The spiritual aspect of our experiences with me has been quite traumatic. I remember having family members come to me, hey, I know this man, he's very sharp, let's take me there, you know, so many recommendations. Now, if you are not educated about this, if you do not know the condition, if you do not know that it is neurological, then you would be like chaff, as the Bible says, you'd be
going
up and down.
You'd be very gullible, you'd be just following.
And that in itself hurts your mental stability.
Yes.
Because then you'll be on a yo-yo.
Yes.
Or just hoping, and then they give you some false declaration. Anyways, you are speaking, so let's hear you.
Yeah, you're very right, and you'd end up wasting time. When it comes to early intervention, time is so crucial. Mm-hmm. And so if from the beginning you rely on spirituality and you don't do the needful,
yeah,
by the time you realize, time would have gone and your child would be older. And there's something called neuroplasticity,
okay,
where the brain is able to remodel itself, where if you keep repeating certain actions,
yeah,
that pathway in the brain gets strengthened. And when you stop doing something for a while, it gets weakened.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when children are little, it's the brain is more able to rewire itself very fast. And so when you're able to get them into therapy early, some of these conditions, the communication challenges would get better, social challenges would get better, and then the repetitive movements and the behaviors can be managed.
Mm-hmm.
I won't lie, we have gone to see pastors, we've paid monies, but somewhere along the line, when I realized that, hey, this is not spiritual, even if it is, I know that the devil is the reason for all these, for every sickness.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that God is healing him, and yes, I've seen the hand of God upon my son's life in amazing ways.
Okay.
My son is a miracle.
Okay.
He's been involved in two accidents.
Okay.
Yet he's speaking. I mean, he even started talking after one incident like that. And I think he's a miracle. And God has brought him here on earth for a reason. And I know that he who has started all these good works in him would bring it to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So please, as I said, have faith. Do your spiritual stuff. But get help for your child.
Do your spiritual stuff, but get help for your child. We have to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. When we come back, Andrika, I'm coming back to you on the issue of, she mentioned that early intervention improves the situation. I would want to pick your thoughts on that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
If you're just joining us, I'm in the studio with Andrika Grant Odonko from Haven International, Augustine Odro, who is a mom of a lovely 6-year-old on the spectrum, and Dr. Emmanuel Hobson. And we are discussing the family and special needs. This Farm Life, your regular family engagement and enhancement program, meant to make us all a better version of ourselves, to have a thriving life, a personal and family beauty in all its forms and shapes. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
The city is alive on
97.3. Hey. Okay. Lego. 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 Okay. Lego. 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 Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Massa, Abayanka Susu Kasa, Jinan China Mindi Massa, Mimi Hanki Nami Himansa. Massa, Nananya Minikita, Ansa, Melamania Minikita, Power, Jinan China Mindi Massa, Mindi Massa. Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? Who say God no day? Who say God no day? Who say God no go fit make a way? Who say God no go do am again? No go do am again.
Go do am again.
Who say God no go fit make it rain?
Hello and welcome back. We are live here in the studio of City FM 97.3, and this is Farm Life, and we are blessed and privileged to have Augustina and Adrika, and then Dr. Emmanuel Hobson. Before we went on a break, Augustina mentioned that early interventions are helpful. And I was just telling her while we were on the break that it's like she's become a whole professor. Because she knows the neuroplasticity, she understands the dynamics of some of the nuances. As a therapist, what do you think, Andrika? Do the early interventions really matter?
It does.
So someone is with senses, you know, they are believing, trusting God, or hoping that it will correct itself. So maybe they come in at an age where the child is 6 years or 7 years. Again, somebody who comes in at the early detection stage of maybe like 2 years, like Augustina Dems have done. What's the difference?
So as Madam Augustina said,
yes,
if you say, you know what, you want God to help you, no problem. Follow your religion, what your beliefs are, but do what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
I always tell the parents, do what you're supposed to do. You bring the child early. It helps us assess the child, see what's wrong with the child, and then work on it.
Okay.
But some of them will be like, oh, my child, I've already accepted the condition. There's nothing that can be done.
Okay.
And then later, maybe another family member will come in and be like, you know what, you have to send this child to school.
Okay.
And then maybe compared to a child who came in at 2 years,
yes,
who does not know how to do potty training, who has very short attention span, and has been in the school for like 2 years,
yes,
and now has potty training and has better attention span.
Yes.
And someone who just came in, it's like you're starting from scratch.
Okay. Even though you're older.
Yes, you're starting from... Even though you're older, your mindset is as that of a 1 year old because you have no training.
Okay.
And I've noticed one thing too about some of the parents or carers.
Mm.
They believe that whatever they are doing is okay. You have to see a specialist and start early intervention. It will help so, it will help in the long end. At the long end, you notice that your child has gained some level of attention. The social skills has improved. You later come with a child and then they see a child who has been there for like 2-3 years.
Yes.
I'm like, I want my child to start speaking. And it's, they are expecting it within a month or two.
Okay.
But they don't know that the child has been there for such a long time. And we've been working on the child.
Okay.
And then sometimes it makes them give up. But they don't understand whatever.
The dynamics of the time, the duration, and the earlier dynamics.
Yes. And then they also like to listen to, yes, sir, this one, let's go here. So now they'll start moving the children.
Oh.
Some of them will move the child. The child will come for like 6 months, and I'm not seeing any improvement. But you've seen a child who has been there for like 2 years, and they're expecting the child to have the same
level.
Level of education, level of everything. And then they'll move the child. They'll move the child to this place, jack of all trades. At the end of the day, the child is confused.
Yeah.
The child doesn't know. Because a child with autism likes routine.
Okay.
So you brought me to this school. I'm used to this school now.
Yes. The people, the colleagues and everything.
Then you move me to another school. I'm now come to start everything again. And it becomes very hectic. Early intervention helps. Early intervention really, really helps.
Awesome. Really helps. Early intervention helps. So parents out there would want to hear from you if you have a special needs child. How is that? How are you faring? What has been your support system? Which is the next level we'll be looking at? We are going to start first from the issue of interpretation and posturing of society, whether there's stigma and all that. But you can get to us via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996. What has been your experience? What's your experience? How is that? How are you coping? What's your support system? You can share with us what any learnings, any gleanings you want us to know, you want others to know. We'll share with us and we'll share with the rest of the world. What has been your family dynamics in view of raising a special needs child? And what have been your joys? What have been your tears? What have been your challenges? What have been your blessings? We are willing and ready to share with others if you choose to share with us. So you can get to us via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Yes, so let me come to you again, Augustina. What has been societal or community perspective or posturing towards you in particular and towards parents who may have special needs children? Is society welcoming? Is society supportive? Is there anything like stigma, or is there an empathetic posturing of embrace, of support, of care, of empathy? Mm-hmm. How has it been like for you?
Thank you so much. I'll start from home and broaden it. autism is difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. Children with autism do not have any physical markers that show that they have a disability. Mm-hmm. And their disability shows in their behavior most of the time. Mm-hmm. So we usually get a lot of backlashes as parents. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're not bringing up your child well. Hey, mm-hmm. You're supposed to let him know what he's doing is wrong. Hey, we've received our fair share of advice on how to be good parents because we are not doing well, apparently. Mm-hmm. I would say that we've had certain experiences as a family that have altered our perspective of how accepting people are of disabilities and conditions such as autism. I remember 15th October 2022, we went somewhere, and around ACP, my son left the car we were in. He opened the door, stepped out, and ran out in slow-moving traffic. Yes, we were supposed to strap him in at the back. He's usually at the back of the car, but mm-hmm. on this particular day, he wanted to be at the front seat so badly. He fought with us, and sometimes we get tired.
Yeah, can you imagine?
We allowed him a few minutes at the front seat, and he decided to open the door. He's so swift, too. Mm-hmm. He opened the door, left. And my husband stopped the car, rushed to grab him, and brought him in the car. And what ensued after was a nightmare. Apparently, the people around thought we had abducted him.
Ooh.
And he was trying to get away. So they blocked our car. We
really?
Were nearly lynched.
Really?
Nearly. It took God's intervention. They were very rough with us. They attacked us verbally, physically. Someone fought with my husband.
Wow.
They were taking pictures and videos of us that we've gone to steal children, and I was posing as the mother of the child, and it was a nightmare. And for about 3 hours it kept raging. People were coming and circled our car. And after 3 hours, we got a policewoman come to rescue us. And so we kept saying, okay, our son has autism. And you're like, what is autism? You've gone to steal someone's child and you're telling us he has autism. They don't understand.
So ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Ignorance.
Extreme ignorance.
That is even one of the reasons I accepted to come and do this interview, because I think that we need to hit the hammer on the nail, let people know that, hey, there's a condition that affects the brain of a child. You don't see it physically as they having a disability, but it's all in the mind, it's all in the brain. And so give room and try and understand these children. Stigma, yes, we go through stigma every day. When there are some people who get to know that you have a child with autism, and that is the end of your friendship.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
That
is the end of the friendship. Old friends, you tell them about your child and they don't, that is where the friendship ends. They don't call to check on you anymore. The relationship becomes a bit stagnant. Even in our churches, for a long time, I wasn't going to church because we will always end up outside. Hey, your child is making too much noise. There isn't enough room to accommodate children on the spectrum. So there are people, the perception about autism, one perception research has shown is that people think that the rich, it is only the rich that have children with autism. Mm. But that is not true because there are so many children locked up in the homes, in homes. I wonder if they are even counted during census. They're not, because you know, people are afraid of the stigma, and so they are kept in their homes. A lecturer of mine told me that she went to Tanzania, an orphanage home in Tanzania, and they have segregated the children. All the children with disabilities are at the back of the orphanage, and so when people come in to make donations and the rest, they present their typically developing children. Yes. And she is a speech therapist, so when she got in, she was like, do you have any children with special needs? And, oh yes, they are the back.
Wow. So they okay.
Mm-hmm. You'd hardly hear of people talk about their children or their siblings with autism. And so I think that we as whoever is listening to me, autism spectrum disorder is a neurological condition. Children or people, adults on the spectrum, have no control of what they do. It isn't as a result of bad parenting, or they deliberately causing scenes or hurting other people. They have no awareness of what they do. Thank you.
All right. So I want to revisit. Thank you so much. I want to revisit the issue of the mob action on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to bring it out clearly that that's why the police say that if you are in doubt, bring them at least to the police station. Do not lay your hands on them.
Yeah.
Look at this situation. It just takes one crazy person to start hitting you.
Yeah,
and it's like everybody start hitting you.
Yeah.
Or one person, person to start doing something to your vehicle. And before you realize, somebody can even destroy your vehicle. Meanwhile, you are the legitimate parent.
Yes.
You are doing your lawful and legal and biological and sensible action by bringing the child back.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is drawing a wrong conclusion.
Yes.
Judging from the optics.
It took a man. I remember a man. He was around his 50s. He kept telling them, be patient, you wait. He helped us a lot because it would have been a different story. He kept telling them to wait for the police, and they were so angry at us. They took us into.
And here's the sad part. So one person comes, is in the beginning, then as the information is passed on, it's distorted.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time more people are come later,
they are angry coming.
Yeah.
And what they know or have been told is completely different. You know, there's a story of an army, a battalion that was walking in the deep heat of one of their wars, and they had a little reprieve. So the captain sent a message because he was in front, and sent it for them to pass the message on to the radio guy at the back so that he would relay the message. Then he said, send reinforcement. We are going to advance. That was the message he gave to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got to the radio guy, said, send 2.5 pence.
Hey.
We are going for a dance. So that's how messages can change. But on a more serious note, this mob action, this lynching, this you know, it is. We have to, as a society, take it seriously, and that's why now the places and stuff now are trying to deal with people who carry out mob justice. I happened to chance on a message some guy had posted that he was in Ashayaman, going out for a function, and he saw somebody selling jeans, trousers. So he asked for the price, and I think the guy said it was about 180 for one or something. And later decided that he would not buy anymore. There's a few steps, and the guy says he's made his manhood vanish. The guy, the seller of the jeans, and told the attack, he, and then he started beating him, and people started coming. This somebody, so in the process, he had a bag on, they took his money, took his laptop, took his tablet, took his phone. He was just saved by, I think, a police or somebody who came in. So he ended up at a police station, his statement was taken, and then the police put a guy and charged him for wrongful whatever.
He could have died.
He could have been killed. And that's why I say that mob action is not the way to go. It's fellow citizens, fellow Ghanaians, to borrow someone's special phrase. It is not helpful. Even if the person has committed the offense, the police is taxed to handle it. Please take them there without laying your hands on them. Even if you caught them stealing red-handed, take them to where they can be dealt with. Let the law handle it. Because sometimes somebody may not be the thief. There's a case I know. The thief was being chased and they didn't see him. They're only chasing him. And then he missed somebody who's coming. Then he leaves the thing on the person's hand. The person is just standing there holding. Then they come in and the mob jumps on the person and beats the person. You may be far from right. So to get it right, please, just do the needful so that others do not suffer ill health, ill faith and distraction just because you are an overzealous mob who think that you need to carry out instant justice.
And with regards to what you said about the mob action, you know, I think they don't know the signs and symptoms of children or people with autism. So sometimes, even when they are even in class, they can just be going, they will just pick something. They can just run out of the house. And their parents will be looking for them. And some of them are as old as 25, 30. And so imagine this child, this young man walking in town, and he's hungry, he's lost. He just picks up something.
So you beat him.
And everyone gangs. He doesn't have no communication awareness, skills. He doesn't know what's going on. And they are very sensitive. And this one is hitting him, this one is hitting him. Before you realize he has autism and you've killed the person. So this mob, there should be so much awareness.
I think so.
So much. And I think some of the parents are scared to let people know they have. Because of what she's saying, the stigma. I know of one person, autism. Or you are free fear when he gets lost. You know, sometimes they put this, they always have the doors locked and stuff, but some of them, they are very smart. Very smart.
So they're looking for the opportunity.
Children with autism, especially the young ones, before you say, this child is by the roadside.
Really?
They are so quick. And you might think that I have locked the gate. My adult son with autism, will not go out. And he will not go out for some months. But as I realize, you cannot find this man in the house. And you see him walking. And you've locked the gate. And you wonder how he got out. So there should be so much awareness. So much. If there should be a tag or something. Parents should not be afraid. I know it's not easy. But you should not. Child safety first.
Child safety.
They can run out of the house. They don't know where they are. They can't communicate. There's nothing, no tag, nothing on them. They are walking. They get hungry. They don't have anything like, please, I'm hungry, I want to take Gary, or I'm hungry, I've seen biscuits, they'll just take it and open and start eating.
So do you think that, based on what you're just saying about the awareness creation, do you think it would be helpful maybe to come up with either a bracelet or something, and then make society know that if you see somebody, though some bad people may also try to take advantage and put on
yes, but there should be ID.
There should be an ID.
Yes.
So we can...
You can track it.
You think that would be helpful? Oh,
it would be so helpful.
And then make people aware. So in the event that somebody comes or it's in a certain state,
you see
they are facing some anger or they are being out of sorts, you don't treat them as recalcitrant children.
Yes.
But then you know that there are people who need help and support rather than abuse and
yes, arbitrary. And I think yes, people should also know about the signs and symptoms of autism. You should know a child with autism,
yes,
some of them don't have no communication, poor eye contact.
Okay.
They don't have any sense of danger.
Okay.
They will see a truck coming and they'll go and hug the truck.
Okay.
Their behavior, they barely associate themselves with other children.
Okay.
They have you people should actually try and learn about it.
Okay.
Yes.
So much. Like, there's so much. It will be so helpful. It will shock you that some of these so-called mad people on the road, some might actually have autism and they are lost. And they are lost. And
so they have been surviving as they have been going along.
Yes, they are lost. And no one knows the sign, oh, where they were about them. People should care. They should care.
People should care. On which note, I want to take some messages on the console. We'll open the phone lines very shortly. When you call, please keep your messages brief and succinct. We'd want to hear from you. You can also continue to send your messages via WhatsApp or Telegram on 0549-986-996. Now, Richard Velazo from Damfar writes, good morning, Farm Life. This program is educative and really helpful for this generation. I am a teacher, and so I really understand what parents go through in neurodiversity situations. I'll be happy if Doc can elaborate more on the causes of this neurodiversity. For example, we were taught that if you don't have continuous intercourse with your wife, it can cause that. Also, if you drink excess alcohol in pregnancy as well, thank you for this program. So that's talk. So please talk. Please take note. Doc, do you have a paper? Let me give you so you write. So please take note. Yes. So let me give you ladies a pen because I'm sure there will be once you have to come. Let me go. Ako says, hello, Farm Life. Good morning. Please, I'm a mother with two kids. My second one is a boy who is 1.5 years old. He hasn't started saying his first words yet. If he needs anything, he will come and pull you to show you what he wants. He can sing some of the nursery rhymes, but you can't hear the words clearly. He makes those baby sounds and words which you can't understand sometimes. Please, can that be autism, or should I seek for extra help? Please help. So that's a completing note. Yes. Let me give you paper. So yes, so you can take notes and we can address them or as I go to them.
Yeah.
Then the next one is Kobe in Accra. My son is more than 4 and has difficulty communicating. And also any place you can get help. Okay, so please take note as well. So that's Kobe's. And then Chrissy says, the difficulty of having a child on the spectrum that is not so severe is getting a mainstream school that has special needs assistance. Most schools have facilitators with no training. Even international schools ask for all sorts of assessment documentation, but no trained SNAs. That's crazy. So you give us attention to that. And Edinam says, I am in a relationship with someone who has a sibling with autism and Down syndrome. I researched and realized that it could be an inherited trait, and that sibling at a high risk of giving birth to children with the condition. I raised a concern, but he explained that it's not a trait in their family, but rather as a result of late birth by their mom. Please, I need your advice. I don't want to be at risk. Okay. Yeah, so please, who will start first?
Issue of the narrow...
So the last, and then we end on Eddie now. So,
The issue of narrow diversity and its way of informing decision as far as education and all that is concerned. Mm. There are certain dimensions to it that are very true, but there are also some myths about it.
Okay.
And individuals have also taken their personal interpretation and experience to bear on what the neurodiversity situation should be as far as upbringing and child development and education is concerned.
Okay.
The brain is functioning in a way to protect us, whether child or adults. And the function of the brain works in different ways depending on the uniqueness of the individual. So now, you cannot say how one person functions, the other should also function the same way. So there is ongoing research into everyday function of the human being. And then this neurodiversity is just including the various research work on daily basis, moment by moment, that will help us. Take for instance, previously, education is just about training a child to be informed, to do specific things. But when this diversity issue came in, you can now appreciate the fact that norms, values, and all that has also been included in the training of a child. So there are certain things that various school of thoughts have included into this diversity thing that is creating a whole lot of problem today. Even talking about the kind of same-sex kind of issue is based on this kind of diversity that they are talking about. So diversity, yes, is good in including it in our educational system for development. But we need to also look at the aspects of it that is indeed helpful and those that are not helpful. And those that are based on realities and truth that are verifiable than those that are just generated by just a group of people in order to trigger some sensitivity as far as the development issues are concerned.
He asked also about whether not having enough sex could lead to
that's a whole lot of area that we need to look at differently. There are some issues that has to do with hormonal balances and imbalances, and there are some also that has to do with
alcohol as well. Yes,
there are some that has to do with the individual's nature and the way the person's makeup is. But there are some self-inflicted situations that can trigger or contribute to some of these things. He mentioned alcohol. For instance, when an alcoholic give birth, certainly there may be certain traces that you can identify that genetically certain things may not be as correct as in somebody who is not alcoholic, somebody who is a drug addict, and the way the offspring will also be may also have some kind of influences far apart from the genetical coded influence on the individual.
That I think since you brought in the genetical coding, can you take Edina's consent? She said that her fiance or partner has siblings that have Down syndrome and on the spectrum, and so she did some research and is told that it can be genetic. So she's asking that, is she at risk because she does not want to marry a man and then maybe they would have it's not something we think of or plan for or prepare for.
That is why appreciating the fact that knowledge base about these things help you to protect, and some of these things can be avoidable. There are certain things that you are more exposed to when you have certain genetic types, which you need to understand to help you know how to avoid them. There are some people that will just walk into the relationship, walk into marriage, without finding out the various aspects of what makes their life be at risk or not be at risk. Some can be redeemable, but some may not be able to be redeemed. But like I said already, technology is equally also advancing.
Mm.
So there are a few things that, like Erica and my sisters here have said, early approach to some of these things will help avoid some of the situations we are dealing with right now. And let's say that looking at the early stages of the situation, I want to also mention that it is not autism that is the only issue of special need for children. There are a lot of other special need for the child, which is not only autism. Now, when we want to really look at, because most often it is autism that has become one of the major issues right now, like
Andrika
started mentioning, there are certain early stage warnings that parents will have to look out for. Take for instance, this child is jumping unnecessarily, always jumping. Yes, it is okay when a child jumps, but when the child becomes to jump always and all the time, then it is a sign. When the child is always covering the face or cover the eye, the ear, as if he doesn't want anybody to talk to him, and you cover the ear, the two ears, and then turn away from whatever you are saying, you must be careful about that. They are not sensitive to pain, like Eric and I have said. They are not sensitive to pain. And he said they are not sensitive to even danger. And you see a child, it is sometimes you tell a child something and the child will blink the eye. But if blinking of the eye has become a normal thing for the child, always blinking the eye, you must also know that there may be a possible dysfunction that you are going to be dealing with. Then you are looking at a child like
Andrika
said,
I'm not the only one. Your name is unique.
The child is tiptoeing and then going up.
Please hold your thought. Let me just announce the phone lines, then after you continue. So please don't lose your trend. So the phone lines are open. You can get to us on 0302-230-075. Again, 0302-230-075 or 0302-224-959. Again, 0302-224-959. The phone lines are activated. Yes, Doc, please carry on.
And you see the child growing up, and then all of a sudden he starts bouncing itself back and forth, back and forth, as if he's on a springboard. You need to look at the child very carefully. And you are
talking about tiptoeing, what Andrika mentioned. Please go.
Yes, the tiptoeing. The child is tiptoeing and then lifting himself or herself up on the toe. Yes, there are certain movies or certain things that children may watch and want to just try it. But when you look at the child, the way they are going about it, you can see something unusual about it. And if you also look at a child who is always spinning things, just go about spinning things on the table, he put his hand on the thing and spin it, he look this, he spin it, he take this, he spin it, it may be normal approach of children, but when it becomes too often of that child, you need to look at it. And you are beginning also to look at a child who is always shaking the head, and when he gets angry or is not pleased with something, he's stiffening his head, and his own approach is more like expressing some kind of physical displeasure in a way that makes others to feel threatened by the way the child is posturing. You can see that the child is behaving far more than the event the child is responding to. So that also is a sign of trigger.
Okay.
And then you are looking at a child that is always rocking. It's just wanting to break something. And then it's going as if the environment is not suitable or is not pleased with the environment. Those are some of the early signs that you can look at. So parents and family should not look at the extreme of certain things that the children do and just take it for granted.
Doc, there's a caller. Please, let's take it. Good morning, Coat of Many Colors. Thank you for coming on board. Can we hear you, please? Hello, good morning. Go to Benicales. We are ready for
you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to contribute to this program with the medical aspect. My wife got pregnant in 2007, and we are from malaria. When we went to the hospital, they gave him a high-dose malaria tablet. Then she was bleeding. Luckily, we have a doctor friend that we consulted, and he said we should quickly bring her with the antenatal book. So he said, so no, the medicine they've given to the my wife at the pregnancy is too harsh. So she quickly changed it. So I said, doctor, will it affect the baby? He said, probably. If she sticks with her, then she should terminate the pregnancy. He said, no. She did. But when he managed it, when they gave birth, he delayed in walking, his speech delayed, and he had a mild autism. And he has delayed his everything, almost his schooling. He's not in form 3, supposed to be in SS2 by now. So sometimes it's medical. Medicals also cause it, the drugs they give us. And I have all those medical reports that he went through the antenatal. I still have those records for reference. So I'm also suggesting let's check our medicines we use at the hospital they give us at pregnancy. That can also cause that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Yes, yes. Augustina, please go on.
Okay.
And then let's address the other ones. You took notice. The other,
I would like to speak on the causes of autism and all the others. I would like to say for a fact that we do not have all the answers. The experts say that there isn't one sure known cause of autism, right? Mm-hmm. But there are risk factors. Mm-hmm. Genetics is one.
Mm-hmm.
Environmental, right? So when we look at genetics, with the lady talking about she being in a relationship with someone, you can end up dating someone with perfectly healthy siblings, perfectly healthy everyone. And I'm not saying you, but okay, someone could end up dating someone with healthy people, you know, having all the healthy people in their family, and you could still have...
Yes, please, can you hold your thought briefly?
Okay.
We have Akofa on the line.
All right.
Good morning, Akofa, and
good
welcome.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine by God's grace,
right,
thank you.
I'm good too, it's been a while. Goodbye,
yes.
Chris, yeah. Please, let's hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this program, and I think that it should be repeated, because it will educate us more on this issue, children with disability and special needs. I remember a case came up on social media concerning one social media personality, and then the way people, communities were talking back at her because of her child. So this should be repeated, and then our minds should be open. We know what the do's and the don'ts, so that we can be able to help. Sometimes it's very disheartening when you see parents going through this. We don't know what they are going through, but all we do is that we push all back to them. We don't think about their mental health. So thank you very much, and I suggest that this program should be repeated again. It will help us a long way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Akofa, and thanks for linking up with us. Yes, I hope you didn't lose your trend of thought. Yes, please carry on.
So, yes, genetics. And then there are environmental factors.
No, you are talking about somebody
the relationship.
Would, they may check and they are all locked then.
But you may end up having a child with autism. Now, I would love to debunk this perception about autism. Autism is challenging, but that doesn't mean the situation is hopeless.
Okay.
Even if you miss early intervention,
yes.
I mentioned neuroplasticity earlier.
Yes.
It happens throughout our lives. It may not be as effective as it is when the child is young, but therapy does help, no matter how old your child is. And the experts are in Ghana. Someone asked if there are people.
Or help, yes.
There are a number of facilities. I wish I could share this.
Yes, please.
With
please, yes.
You, and wherever you go. 37, all the major hospitals, Kolebu, Missions, Pediatrics, there are so many centers.
Please take a time and mention them.
Because
that's already the next phase of our conversation about the interventions.
Because people will want to know.
Yes. About interventions and places people can get help. Okay. So, about Haven International as well, so people will know what and where
and
they can
what
get
to
help.
Do at what time, things to look out for.
So please go ahead.
So from the start, go to any major hospital: Kolebu, 37, Cape Coast Teaching Hospital, Tamale Teaching Hospital, Shai Osudoku District Health Directorate, Komfanoche Ho, Trust Hospital, Yeboah Hospital, Greater Accra Regional Hospital, Sinel Specialist Hospital. Now, this list that I have was compiled by the Speech and Language Department of the University of Ghana. And so we have Awawa to these non-governmental organizations are also very instrumental. Awawa to Talking Tips, Clicks Africa Foundation, where my son attends. They are amazing. Auntie Mary and everyone in Clicks Africa, thank you so much. We have Hope Cities Autism Center. For private clinics, Mission Pediatrics, where my son goes to, Speech Hearing and Therapy Center, Madhacho, Koi Pediatrics, Rabito Clinic, Rema, Rafa Medical, Speech Language Therapy Clinic, the Allied Therapists, Any Foundation, Medifem Specialist Hospital, New Consults, New Age Academy of Education and Research, Wellspring, Brain Hill Academy. These are schools and private hospitals. So search for any of these on Google. And please, if you don't want to, please go to the major hospitals and start from there. There's information. Please ask. Okay, so please, I would like to come back to the factors, the causes of autism. Now, there's a saying that genetics loads the gun and lifestyle pulls the trigger, right? Now, if a person has the genetic components, that exposes them to have autism. And during pregnancy, the fetus is exposed to certain chemicals, smoke. A research that I read said that mothers who, I mean, they took a number of mothers, and one thing that ran through them was the fact that they were exposed to smoke during their
pregnancy.
Yes, heavy metals, chemicals. So,
that I'm still on my mind.
Yes,
this mercury and all that.
Yes,
lead, you know.
Now, these are all, I can't say for sure that they are, but they are risk factors that have come up. And so, one mother was asking of a 4-year-old with no communication. First of all, do not panic at all, but take action now. Please take your child to the hospital, see a pediatrician, and let the experts take it from there. Be open to whatever you would you be told, and have a positive attitude towards it. So that is what I would love to add.
So right. On the same accord, so she was saying that she was saying that her child, if I could get there to read
it. Can you take us to apoptosis? Okay. Mama says I've come.
Okay, you just skipped. So
please, I'm not with
okay, so you help. See, as she's saying, the child will pull you to show you what he wants. He can sing some nursery rhymes, but you won't hear the words clearly. it makes the baby sounds, maybe cooing and all those things, and you can't understand. Okay, so he is showing signs of autism, but it could also be delayed speech.
Yeah.
So you still have to go there to the hospital and then get your diagnosis. She mentioned a whole lot of hospitals you could get, and then also some schools you could go to. But please go get help. So since she's on the ACOS, I decided to, you know, reply so yeah. I don't forget.
And please go on to another person quickly.
And then the next one was where they can get help, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what that which was.
Yes, okay, so and she said you could go.
And what I want to add is that it may not be necessarily autism,
mm-hmm.
but when you go for early checkup, yeah. any other dysfunction can be early yes. detected.
Exactly.
Because there are a lot of contributing factors to that.
Mm-hmm.
The pregnancy time, the environmental circumstances that have contributed to the well-being of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
That is why when women are pregnant, we need to create an enabling environment for them, because anything that happens to them, their emotion, the way they feel,
mm-hmm.
the way they are being treated, the thought that runs exactly. through their mind, the way they process things can affect the child, because even the child's from the fetal stage
mm-hmm.
can really appreciate and attract or even adjust and adapt to the feelings of the mother that is going
That's
through.
That's why for me, I say women no size. We are equal in the image of God, but our functions are different.
Yes.
So men, love your woman. That's from me to you. Free notice, free counsel, free sharing. Men, love your women. Men, love your wife.
There has been an assessment that has been made that a child was, they want to find out what can help the children stabilize.
Yes.
And one parent, some parents decided that they'll play a particular song or music to the child while he's still in the womb.
Mm.
And when that child was born, anytime the child is crying, you can do anything and everything. Mm. But when that particular music song is played,
the child wow. Yeah. So then, so it confirms the
it confirms
dynamic
the,
right
the
from
theory
the
and the approach.
All right. Let me just take this message. We have to run down now. Okay, so Crystal from Cofredo says, good morning from life. When your child is diagnosed with autism, you go through a lot of phases. Depression is real. I went through it. My partner helped me a lot. We have been able to potty train our child and overcome other certain behaviors. Our child is still nonverbal and she is 5. I sometimes get scared she won't speak. And then Samuel Jedo from Dansoman says, good morning team. God bless you for this program. My heart goes out to Nee's family. I've just been left wondering what could have happened to them when they had to be rescued their child, and that gave others wrong interpretation. God continue to help you and all going through similar situations. And Lydia from Haven International writes, let's all help to educate people on children with special needs. Parents shouldn't hide the children in the room, but should expose them and take them to school as well. That's from Lydia from Haven International. Thank you very much, Lydia. So now we have to touch down.
Okay.
So what will be your last comment? And then I'll give you room to give your shout outs. And then you talk to us about Haven International. Yes.
Okay.
And it's interesting that the last message came from Lydia. It says that let's all help to educate people on children with special needs. Parents shouldn't hide the children in the room, but should expose them and take them to school as well. Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. Let me start from Doc. So, 30 seconds each, please. So, I want to do the shout outs. Yes.
Okay. I want to encourage families that have these children
yes.
with special need.
Yes.
Some of them, their psycho perspective are very difficult in such situations and dealing with such situations. Say, for instance, a child, a family going through this may decide not to give birth again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of them will be so scared and afraid
mm-hmm.
because the family dynamics have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And depression and all those things that are happening within the family have disorganized the entire family. So they don't have joy happiness or anything like that. And by the end of the time, you realize that they have become codependent because of the situation they are dealing with. So we want to encourage them that early help can restructure the family, assist them to be reorganized and become more functional than they are now. And all the resources that are available can be sorted after. And I think they can also live a normal life, but with certain changes, though, which they need to adapt to. And to close up my comment, some autistic children have been identified to have an excessive IQ.
They are genius. Yes.
They are genius.
That's why Tina's introduction.
If that aspect has been discovered, yes, you'll be amazed what those children can become.
Awesome.
So there are very intelligent people in our world today
have
been identified, yes, that it is because of the shift, yes, in their IQ, okay, that they have become so high.
Thank
intelligent
you.
People.
Okay, Tina, so your last comment and do your shout-outs, then I'll come to Andrika, and then I'll do my last statement and we are done. Yes.
I would love
so
to
do it
end.
In a minute, yes.
Okay.
My producer now is signaling me that
okay,
we have to wind down. Yes.
So I would like to say, please eliminate screens for children, younger children. Okay. Early intervention is great. It does miracles. Speak to your children even before they are born, whilst they are in the womb. Speak to them. When they come out, speak to them. Repeat things they say. When they cool, you cool back to them. Give them eye contact and play with them. Do not leave them alone. I would like to say well done to every family that is dealing with special needs. God bless you, and I know that we would be victorious in the end. I would like to say hello to my mom. She said if I don't mention her, trouble.
Please do mention
Ma
name
my sister, Roberta, and Penin and Kakra. I would like to say thank you to my husband, to my boss, Dr. Isil, Auntie Mary, and everyone who has been instrumental in our lives. God bless you.
All right. On that note, let me come to. So God bless all of you that she has mentioned. Now let me come to Andrika.
Andrika, okay,
yes.
So they've said it all. So I'm just, I just want to say this. Haven is having a STEM program outreach this Saturday on 11th May at 11 a.m. Marble Close 1061 Community 80 Lashibi. This is STEM program with collaboration with Maker Deport. And then we also have a training session for professional development. It's a workshop.
Okay.
So I think one person asked if they were like, the facilitators don't have any
training.
Yes. With
even,
Haven International,
even
we do.
My children call them even IS schools,
yes,
international schools.
Yes, but we are having a training, a workshop development this 11th May, 9 a.m., parents, facilitators, and caregiver training. So please come. It's at Community 8 in Haven International.
Okay.
And my shout-out, I would,
yes,
like to give a shout-out to my Haven team,
okay,
my boss herself,
okay,
Madam Genevieve Kumaple and her husband, Mr. Okay. Kumaple, Miss, Mrs. Brock, and Madam Antoinette, and then the Haven staff. Haven staff, Nicholas, mm-hmm, Quartin, you asked me to give you a shout out,
yeah,
Aunt Lydia,
yeah, yeah,
and then my family, the Grand Odonko family. Let me start from Angela, Andorani, Kendrika, Pascal, and Rachel, and Nyla, and Asha. All of you.
All right,
shout out.
So I like the rhyme. give me the names again quickly.
Angela, Andora,
uh-huh,
Annika,
uh-huh,
Pascal, and Rachel, and Asha, and Nyla. Shout outs to you all.
Hey, big up, Charlie. Your parents, they know it.
And my parents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mr.
Lovely.
And Mrs. Odonko.
Awesome.
And then my contact.
Yes.
Someone
asked.
Contact.
Yes, please give your contact. Yes.
Okay.
You can give it on
055-29-855-20.
Again,
055-29-855-20.
All right. So, last but not the least, I want to say thank you and to all the people who may be going through this and supporting in various ways. We say thank you to you. And we say more grace and strength to all parents who may be going through and dealing with this dynamic. And like Doc said, some are geniuses in very wonderful ways. So big ups, keep up, and may grace abound to you. The Ignite Online Self-Awareness and Relational Enhancement Training for singles and those courting, as well as married couples, is on. It will teach you many things on coping skills, on your personality dynamics and all. You can WhatsApp your name and then which of the programs you're interested in, whether the one for singles and those courting or the one for married couples. So WhatsApp 020-813-6943. Again, 020-813-6943. And you'll be told what to do. You'd learn things that would shape your life. I remember somebody after going through said, how come I don't know this? How come we are not taught this during our normal and typical marriage counseling sessions and stuff? And somebody says, I think we need a lot more of marriage counseling when we are married.
Mm-hmm.
Come and learn things that will make you better. Like Augustina has told us, and I was telling her off air that she's very knowledgeable. She's become a good student. And sadly, today we are burying Mrs. Maulom Ekuya Bacha Ne Akoto, the friend, the younger sister of my sister Maonyo Populampo, and the mom and all. We our condolences to you. We pray that grace will abound as we mourn and lay Maulom to rest at the ICDC Committee 18 this morning. So I've been in the studio with Andrika Grant Odronko, Augustina Udro, and Dr. Emmanuel Hobson. We have been ably produced by Nashika Caesar and Philip Nelati, with technical support from Daniel Squashy. My name is Michael Manson. Stay tuned for the big issue which comes out next. Thank you and remain blessed. Thank you very much. We are out of here. Bye.
Shattered like you've never been before, the life you knew